1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A bad end to Independence Day here in New York City. A driver plowed a pickup truck into a park on Manhattan's Lower East Side, killing two people and injuring seven, Mayor Eric Adams.
Based on preliminary investigation, the driver was under the influence. This is extremely early. We're going to conduct a thorough investigation. It doesn't appear at this time that this was terrorist-related.
The suspected drunken driver is in custody. President Biden spent his 4th of July rejecting the continuing calls from some to end his re-election effort because of his debate performance. He told military families at a picnic outside the White House, "I'm not going anywhere." 14 years of Conservative Party rule is over in Great Britain, where British voters have sent the Tories to a crushing defeat in parliamentary elections. The new prime minister will be former prosecutor Keir Starmer. This is ABC. Yes, alcohol was involved, and ABC's Alex Stone explains.
The American Airlines flight was flying from Chicago to Manchester, New Hampshire, when shortly after takeoff, federal prosecutors say 25-year-old Neil McCarthy stood up in the aisle and began urinating. The plane diverted to Buffalo, New York, where he was arrested, McCarthy telling police he was flying from Portland, Oregon to Manchester, and during a layover in Chicago, he had a few Jack and Cokes and then a few more on his flight out of Chicago. He was released after making an initial court appearance. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Quite the sight in Madrid, which celebrated Pride Week by running the high heel race. Crowds in the heart of the city's gay district delighted by participants running in their most vibrant footwear. Competitors drawing applause as they crossed the finish line. Unclear how many fell trying to complete the race, and there was no word of anyone breaking an ankle. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, "I can take someone on aisle three." Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram that Donald Trump wants to undo all he's done for Black Americans.
I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for Black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
Biden says he's appointed Black leaders to high positions in government and fostered a boom in Black-owned businesses. Biden campaigns in Madison Friday. The leader of the Universities of Wisconsin's second biggest school is stepping down. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mone says he plans to return to his faculty position in UWM's business school next spring. Mone was chancellor for 10 years. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers shut out the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 3-0 win over the Rockies. It's the crew's first shutout victory in Colorado since 2005. Christian Yelich with another home run and being named a starter in the upcoming All-Star game.
Yeah, not a bad day and a win, you know. So all in all, a pretty good day. We'll always take that. And, You know, great job from the guys.
Catcher William Contreras, also named a starter for the National League team. Colin Ray pitching 7 scoreless innings, and the crew making a trade to get some help in the bullpen. They send minor league infielder Gregory Barrios to Tampa Bay for 29-year-old right-hander Aaron Civale. He'll likely be in the starting rotation. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks have signed a free agent from the Lakers. It's small forward Taurean Prince, 6'5", 30 years old, averaged about 9 points a game in 78 appearances last year for Los Angeles, where he played for Darvin Ham, now an assistant coach for Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Fireworks courtesy of Mother Nature in the overnight. Showers and thunderstorms and some locally heavy rainfall. Our overnight lows will drop to the lower to middle 60s. Shower and thunderstorm chances continue into Friday, highs reaching the upper 60s. It's 66 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, it's producer Conrad here. Pete and I hope you have a great 4th of July. We'll be back on Monday with live programming. We hope you celebrate safely this weekend. And here's an interview from the Lincoln Lawyer, Bosch, and Wednesday, actor Jamie McShane. Jamie talks about his career as an actor, what directors were his favorite to work with, and what to expect coming up for Jamie. Hope you enjoy. And have a great 4th of July weekend.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabba.
Yeah, Jamie McShane is my guest right now. He's a really just an incredible actor and a very good friend of mine. And he did rock on Bosch, and we're having a good time talking and spending a little time tonight here with him on Nightlight. So, okay, buddy. So I got to ask you, Sons of Anarchy, you know, without giving too many spoiler alerts away or what happens to your character, you got to be so conflicted. Like, as an actor who had a pretty good run on the show, I'm sure you want to go for every season, but if you have to be killed off, what a cool way to go.
First of all, thank you to that caller for saying that. That was very nice. I appreciate that. I got the script like an hour before the read through where you sit around with all the other actors and, you know, you read through the script. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm gone. You know, and I was pretty bummed because it was a great show and I loved the role. It was a great way to go. And then Kurt Sutter at that read through singled me out in a way that I never expected and basically thanked me for what I brought to the table, which was very kind.
But that's when you found out was at the read?
No, about an hour before.
Or about an hour before. Okay. So you got a little warning. Okay.
A little time. Yeah. Jeez.
So those
I got to the read through. I'm like, wait, did I read this right?
Those tears were real that day. Yeah, I'm sure. What do you prefer? Do you prefer movies or TV, or is it all about the role?
Movies and TV are the same to me. I mean, it's all the same process. And now, like, TV is, you know, like the show I'm doing now, it's a movie. It's just 8 hours long or whatever, seven episodes. Same with Bloodline. It's just a longer, the quality is the same. The writing is so good. It's not like where years ago movies were movies and TV was, you know, you had some good episodes or whatever. Sorry, that's Philly with the noise in the background.
They're coming to get you. More jail time for you.
Yeah. So I just love to work and I love working on camera. Whatever the job is. Yeah.
That's so cool. You did an episode of Monk. with Tony yeah. Shalhoub, who is yeah. is from, I guess he grew up like a mile away from where we are right now. And I saw okay. him once in Gelson's in Valley Village there and had a really nice talk with him. Very nice guy. What was your experience on Monk like, and what was your experience with Tony Shalhoub like?
Well, I auditioned and Tony was in the room and I had them laughing. I had them cracking up, and I never get to do comedy, like never.
Huh.
So it was really fun. I'm like, it was just so fun. And he was so sweet. And it was wonderful working on Monk. And someone recently, like two people recently saw me on it and, you know, told my kids or whomever, I don't remember, and said, "Hey, I saw your dad on Monk. It's like the last show. I still had some hair on the top of my head on."
You got the look, though. There's some guys that look awesome bald, and you're fortunate because you look, you know, you got a good look. Do you shave it?
Thanks, man. What's that?
Do you shave it, or do you just kind of let, is it
depend
on the role?
Yeah, I mean, I buzz it. If I'm not working, I buzz it. And then when I'm working, I just wait till they buzz it.
Okay.
You know? So they buzzed it today.
Oh, sweet. Okay, so here's a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Favorite project you've ever been on?
This. No, I mean,
I thought you were taking
I don't
shot
mean your
at
show,
me.
Pete. I mean, I like your show a lot, but I didn't mean that.
You got a good singer.
It was not like Disco.
You got a good singer in before. I thought you were doing it again. Oh, that's hilarious.
No, this show, Task.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's really been a tie between Bloodline, Mank, and the one I did around the world, Busman's Holiday, for all these years. But this one just, I think, surpassed it. It's just been such an amazing experience.
That is so cool. I got to check. Conrad, I know you just got back. Take a memo.
Sounds good.
I haven't asked you to do that in a while.
Radar.
Radar. I'll have to explain that to him. But let's look up Task. That hasn't dropped yet, has it? Is this the first?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
It's not, we're still filming. It's not going to drop until so next year, I believe HBO is, you know, they've got like, what was that show with The Last of Us? They have The Last of Us, and then our show, and then I think White Lotus or something like that. But this is I'm so fortunate to be a part of this project. It's amazing.
Oh, that's so cool. I love having a show to look forward to.
Yeah, me too.
How was Deadwood?
Oh, it was awesome.
Was it? It looked like it would have been so much fun to do.
So Deadwood, there was some confusion with my agent at the time. It was a long, long time ago, different agent than I had. I was supposed to read for a one-line role. And fortunately, the agent messed it up and gave me this 11-page role in the pilot. Wow. And I went in and read for it just by accident, and I booked it.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
Realized later I was supposed to go in for the one-line role. And the casting director didn't know what I was coming in for. She knew me, and she was very sweet to me, Libby Goldstein. And that role was a huge break for me, huge break. But I mean, yeah, it was great.
All because your agent was an idiot.
Well, they weren't an idiot. They were just, they were tired. It was a Friday and the audition was on a Saturday. Yeah.
Was that a good cast to work with? Ian McShane, Timothy Oliphant. There's some really good people in that show.
Yeah, they were all wonderful. I didn't get to work with Ian, but I did meet him and he was fun. I was just talking about this with someone yesterday, and Ian introduced himself, you know, we had the same last name, and he's like, "Hi, Jamie," and he's talking to me, and he's very kind. And then all of a sudden they're like, "All right, Ian, we're ready for you." And he goes, "Excuse me, Jamie." And he walks into the set, and then I'm just watching on the monitor and listening, and he just drops into that character that just oozes menace.
Oh, yeah.
Just oozes it.
Wow.
But he was very sweet to me. He was very kind to me.
Yeah, he's got that voice. He's so great. Like in the John, he was about the best thing about the John Wick movies to me. I think those are kind of over the top, but he's great. He's just has that. Yeah, the voice is excellent. All right, couple more questions for you. My guest is Jamie McShane. You can check him out in Bloodline, Sons of Anarchy, a new show on HBO called Task, Wednesday on Netflix. Just IMDb him, folks, and check out his work.
Hey, tell them to look up Busman's Holiday, because that thing got so overlooked, and my buddy, you know, lost his shirt on that. Busman's Holiday.
Busman's Holiday. Okay. And it is on Amazon. All right. I remember you doing that and kind of telling me about that. And it was like around the world on a shoestring budget or something, like a very ambitious project, right?
Correct. We had a crew of three people.
Oh my gosh.
Including the director, you know, who wrote it, directed it, produced it, and did basically every department. Yeah.
Conrad Memo, Busman's Holiday. We're checking it out.
Sounds good.
Me and Conrad.
Radar.
Popcorn.
you're gonna have to explain to the guest what radar means.
I think some of our guests probably do know, but slipped my mind. That's a great comp, though. Okay, your favorite actor to work with in your entire career?
Gary Oldman.
Nice. Like from a personal standpoint or professional? Like playing off him or just personally?
Everything. I mean, I loved Ben Mendelsohn, Kyle Chandler, you know, Sissy Spacek I had a little bit with. Holly Hunter was amazing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Viola Davis was wonderful. I could go on and on. But if I had to pick one other, you know, I don't know, Kyle's a good friend, so it's hard to say not him. Also Sam Keeley, who I'm working with now on this show. He's an Irish actor from the show Kin. He's amazing. But Gary was just so, so sweet, so funny, and he's so talented.
He's incredible. Yeah,
he was. As far as like, he's like the biggest star I've worked with that was like, that I had a lot of stuff with.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, he was great in True Romance. He played like a pimp.
Oh my God, he was so good in that.
He was great. And I didn't even know it was
him
at first.
With the dreadlocks and the glass eye. Yeah.
He was great in that. And then you watch him in Hell's Kitchen or the State of Grace. And then he's, in Mank. I mean, he's just, he might be one of the greatest actors of all time. That's a great answer.
I think he's up there. Yeah.
And then last thing, buddy, this is what I do for everybody who comes on the show. We talk about movies and TV and what we're watching. Can you recommend anything? Anything you're watching that you're hooked on or summer blockbusters?
Task, which will come out in March.
just watch. We don't have access to the dailies, so I'm going to need you to say a little more elaborate.
I watched a show called Happy Valley.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And it's on the BBC. It's on like BritBox or something. And it's not at all what it sounds like. It was such a good show. It's a British cop drama with a female lead who's, you know, roughly my age. She was so good. It was such a great show.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
all right.
That was.
Well, that's because I've heard about that one, too. You're not the first person to mention that. Hey, this was so fun. We got to catch up off the air. We got to have like a rated R catch up. And I don't mean just because we can both be topless. I mean, where we can swear and talk like regular people. But listen, Disco Principle 2, get ready. I'll send you the size.
Yes, I've been warned.
It's time.
My rate has gone up from, one Snickers bar to maybe two or three.
Well, that might be a problem. have fun in Ireland, buddy. And I'll call you before you go. Let's catch up.
All right. Take care. Peace. Right. Say hello to everyone.
You got it. You too, buddy.
Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for doing it, man. Enjoy Philly. That's Jamie McShane. Great guy and a great actor. I'm telling you, check out, if you just want to watch acting in its purest sense, regardless of the role, he's just a consummate professional when it comes to acting. He's just great. So thank you to Jamie.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You've seen her dressed in blue. See the sky in front of you. And her face is like a sail.
Welcome back. Oh, Conrad, you just shared this, Bill and I got it. Did you know that when you get nominated for a star on the Walk of Fame, you have to pay for it? Do you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. 75 big ones, buddy.
$75?
75 G's. 75 grand. No, not,
wow.
Not 75 bucks.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to be nominated by the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce for the Hollywood neighborhood, and then they have to, if you have, like, I think a year to accept it, and then they want you to give them 75 grand. So, it ain't cheap, man.
So you just didn't want to give them 75 grand, you know, when you got nominated?
Yeah. It's not. You're like, I like to fly under the radar and make as little money as possible. Yeah, not just any. You do have to be approved. Bill Nye, that's a good one, though. Yeah, I saw some of these nominations. Colin Farrell, Jessica Chastain. I feel like it'd have to be like at least 60. Like, what is Jessica Chastain, like 38?
Bill Nye has got to be up there, though.
He's up there. And Jane Fonda's up there. But like David Beckham, why is he getting a star?
You know, Bill Nye was actually my teacher.
I beg your pardon? You had a teacher named Bill Nye?
No. He taught so many kids my age all the stuff in science.
Oh, nice.
You know, like every day, or some, not every day, but some days it'd be like, well, we're going to watch a Bill Nye the Science Guy video. And everyone was be like, scream, be like really happy about it.
Oh, man, that's cool.
Because it was funny.
Yeah.
But it still got the point across of what's going on.
So this is interesting. When I left Chicago in the mid-90s, we were set to move to LA. I got a call from a friend of mine who worked for Buena Vista, said, do you want to write for Bill Nye? Like, I had done this other thing and they liked it. And I was like, Bill Nye, the guy on whatever. And I don't even think of, I knew he was the science guy or whatever, but I turned it down because I didn't want to, he's in Seattle and I didn't want to move to Seattle. I thought, the only reason I'd be moving there was to write for Bill Nye, who I didn't even get or really know his stuff at the time. But he was a huge, that maybe would have been a good career move. I mean, I don't regret going to LA, as some cool things happened there, but he probably would have been a cool guy to write for.
Yeah.
Very likable. Did you see this? I thought this was interesting. He got a his start after winning a Steve Martin lookalike contest.
I did not know that.
That's in this article, yeah. And he got into comedy working on the classic King TV sketch show Almost Live in the 1980s. So that's before he was doing the science stuff. Nye's energetic blend of entertainment and education struck a chord in Bill Nye the Science Guy, produced by public television station KCTS-TV in the 1990s. That's crazy. He serves on the Planetary Society, CEO, and the board of Mount St. Helens. Yeah, he's done well for himself.
You can still view his science on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, like he still does it. All the lessons you learned. Oh, he still does it?
Yeah.
Original content?
It used to be like actually like half-hour shows. Now it's just like, you know, a couple second videos of, you know, some science stuff.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's cool. I've always liked him.
Yeah, I mean, I believe anything he says.
Yeah.
Just because he was my teacher, pretty much.
No, that's cool. This was such a simple thing he said. Someone said, what would it take for you to believe? I don't know what they were talking about at the time, but he just said evidence. And it was so simple.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, You need something, right?
I mean, that's basis of everything he did is just, where's the evidence? And if there's evidence, he'll go into it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so cool. So here's what we should do. We've got a few minutes before we have our next. I'm very excited. In just a few minutes, folks, I don't know if any of you have been to the Superior area, Superior, Duluth. They're almost like twin cities. Duluth is considerably larger. But Superior is a beautiful area of our state. Up there on Lake Superior, gorgeous. They have this old hotel that's beautiful. I think it's called the Hotel Chequamegon or something like that. I stayed there decades ago when I was doing stand-up. And in just a few minutes, Carolyn Nelson Cabayas will join us. She is the coordinator or director of their 4th of July celebration and the parade coordinator. So she's going to join us in just a few minutes to talk to us about their festival up there. If you're listening now and you know you want to share something about the part of your state that you live in that is really fun about summer, 4th of July, whatever, don't hesitate to reach out to us. I want to know what's going on in your part of the state. And in just a few minutes, Carolyn, will tell us what's happening up in Superior over the 4th of July. What are you doing for the 4th, Conrad?
I am staying at my brother's while he is going on vacation to take care of his cats.
Does it sound like I just got struck by lightning and I'm a little slow? Wow, that does not sound fun at all. I have to be honest.
I love his cats. They're the only two cats that I actually take care of.
To take direction.
My brother and a bunch of his friends, I went last year, but since I just took a big vacation, I really can't do it again.
Yeah.
They go up north for a whole weekend, like, stay on a lake and up by Chippewa Falls.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, we're pretty far north. Chippewa Falls is over by Eau Claire.
Yeah.
That's a lovely area. Beautiful.
So I'm doing the cat duty this year.
Are you going to do some fireworks for the cats?
I'll put some on the screen, see what they do.
See what they do. That would be interesting. A little case study, if you will.
Exactly.
So that's fun. So I wanted to talk about Ricky Gervais, but I don't know that. What other clips do we have?
We have some Night at the Museum clips or the British Office.
Yeah, but we don't have time. That deserves more of a, because Ricky Gervais is a good. And I want to do this week. Like tomorrow night, we're definitely doing Ricky Gervais because we have good stuff from him. We have Night at the Museum, yeah. British Office. I don't want to waste those. Do we still have the did you find a Nick Offerman clip?
I did. It's a short clip, so
let's play that one because it was his birthday. Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Or this week. And this is from Parks and Rec?
Yep.
I love it. I love this character. All right, fire away.
Under my tutelage, you will grow from boys into men, from men into gladiators, and from gladiators into Swansons. Behold! The Swanson Pyramid of Greatness. I've been developing the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness for years. It's a perfectly calibrated recipe for maximum personal achievement. Categories include capitalism, God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor. Crying, acceptable at funerals and the Grand Canyon. Rage, poise, property rights, fish, for sport only, not for meat. Fish meat is practically a vegetable. Haircuts. There are three acceptable haircuts. High and tight, crew cut, buzz cut. Are the scissors broken in your house, son?
I love that. It's so that's funny because he coaches like a fourth grade basketball team and he made that.
That is hilarious. That was the funniest character on that show, in my opinion, hands down. All right, so we'll talk about... It is a what to watch Thursday, but I know we're losing to the debates, and that's fine, you know. But before the end of the show, you and I will recap what we're going to watch, and I want to talk about 1923. That's a pretty good show. But coming up next, very exciting, folks. We're going to find out what is happening on the 4th of July in Superior, Wisconsin, our beautiful city to the north, with Carolyn Nelson Cavaya. She'll be up next on Nightlight with Peach Waba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Life to one.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A bad end to Independence Day here in New York City. A driver plowed a pickup truck into a park on Manhattan's Lower East Side, killing two people and injuring seven, Mayor Eric Adams.
Based on preliminary investigation, the driver was under the influence. This is extremely early. We're going to conduct a thorough investigation. It doesn't appear at this time that this was terrorist-related.
The suspected drunken driver is in custody. President Biden spent his 4th of July rejecting the continuing calls from some to end his re-election effort because of his debate performance. He told military families at a picnic outside the White House, "I'm not going anywhere." 14 years of Conservative Party rule is over in Great Britain, where British voters have sent the Tories to a crushing defeat in parliamentary elections. The new prime minister will be former prosecutor Keir Starmer. This is ABC.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A judge in Madison is striking down parts of Act 10, the state law that took away collective bargaining rights for most public workers. Dane County Judge Jacob Frost says parts of the law violate the constitutional right to equal protection because law enforcement was exempted. It's not clear exactly how Wednesday's ruling will be applied. There's more law enforcement out on the water this holiday weekend, making sure people are boating sober. Savannah Tomei Olson has more on Operation Dry Water.
Please be careful on the water this weekend. Since the project began in 2009, law enforcement has gotten more than 6,000 drunk boaters off the water. The DNR says wear life vests and have a designated driver. Alcohol is a leading factor in boating deaths. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 4th of July typically means a big weekend at the summer box office. This year should not disappoint. Opening this weekend is Disney Pixar's Despicable Me 4, which is expected to be the film that finally knocks off Inside Out 2 from the top spot. The most recent installment is pulling a not-quite-fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the franchise has enough street cred with audiences to put the butts in the seats. Despicable Me 4 stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Another highly anticipated opening is Maxine, a film about a young, aspiring actress in 1980s Hollywood that gets drawn into the world of adult films, all while a serial killer haunts the LA streets. If you want to watch a moving picture from the comfort of your own home, Eddie Murphy stars in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is now available to stream on Netflix. The film is receiving a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes and has some of the same old cast members, including Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, and has added a fresh face in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high right around 73 this afternoon. Tonight, rain will end. It'll gradually clear overnight. Our low 59. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy and a bit warmer with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue and democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Tune in to the show Friday for my regular conversation with my good friend Sandy Williams. We'll talk about the 4th of July, my interview with the president, and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm producer Conrad. Hope you're having a good 4th of July. For this segment, author of We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter, Peter Jess, joins the show. Peter shares his adventures in music promotion space, what goes into the line of work, and why he wrote a book. Hope you enjoy.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Chwaba.
I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to Nightlight. He is a music promoter and the author of the new book, We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. Peter Jess joins me now on Nightlight. Hey, Peter.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Congrats on the book.
Oh, thank you so much. A lot of the credit goes to Amy Waldman, who mostly wrote it, but it's my story, so they gave me co-author.
Oh, that even works better when you don't have to do the tedious stuff with grammar and stuff like that. That's even better.
Yeah, I never finished college, so I had to have a professional.
All right. Well, there you go. That's a truly brilliant person understands their shortcomings and surrounds themselves with confident people, right? Or competent people.
That's right.
And you sound like you did pretty well for yourself in the music promoting game. Enough to write a book, certainly, which is cool. Let me ask you before we get into the book. What I'm kind of fascinated because that's just a profession I don't know a lot about. Like I've met promoters, I used to do stand-up comedy, but never like big music promoters. That's a really cool thing. What led you to that profession?
Well, I really liked music. I had really bad asthma as a kid, so I couldn't do sports, and I only could find middle C on the piano, so I wasn't musically inclined. But I love music, so I mean, I used to win contests all the time and win records and. So I'd be fascinated with music, and I really couldn't do anything else. My grades were terrible in anything, and I just sort of picked up on following concerts and, became a runner and assistant for a local promoter. And when they went out of business, it was like, okay, either sink or swim. Now you got to try it yourself.
So that's great, but how do you go about, like, let's say you have a space and you say, I want to book a band here. You go to the people that own the space, you go to the band. It seems like a ton of work.
Yeah, there's probably just really a dozen or maybe a dozen and a half agencies that have 90% of the touring act. So you have to have some kind of reputation or in because no one wants to sell a newcomer an act.
Right.
So it's very hard. And nowadays with Live Nation doing most of it, it's even harder.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. So when did you think you had enough stories to fill a book? What made you want to write the book? What got you over
the edge?
Well,
during the pandemic, I guess I took after my mother and saved everything from my 40 years of concert promotion, contracts, previews, reviews, and files. And I would post a few things on my Facebook page, like a contract for Pearl Jam for $500. Contract for Alanis Morissette for $500. And my friend Amy Waldman, who we weren't close friends, but, a Facebook friend, said, you should write a book. And I said, I can't write a book. She said, well, I'll write it. She's a librarian, always wanted to write a book. And I had nothing else to do during the pandemic, so it sort of worked out. So
that's so great. So where can people find it?
It's out now. It's published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, which is really a great asset for us people in Wisconsin. They do a lot of good stuff for different Wisconsin stories. So, I mean, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the big stores have it, but, it's every bookstore should have it. It's because the publisher does a good job of putting it in stores.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. So, all right. So you've got this book. You've got all this information. What would people read in the book and be surprised to see?
It's a lot of goofy. Well, one is that I went to UW-Milwaukee for 7 years and had a 1.8 grade point average with 23 credits. So I never graduated. I never really went. It's just sort of a bunch of fun stories from my time with the Violent Femmes, booking a lot of their shows, to John Prine, to a Sam Kinison show, to you know, Adam West, the Red Hot Chili Peppers show in Green Bay, of course, was classic.
Tell me about
Riverside
that.
Riverside Ballroom, where they went on stage with nothing but socks, and the socks weren't on their feet, and the socks fell off, and the police raided the Riverside Ballroom. So that's a pretty classic story.
I do remember that. So when was that?
That was November of 89.
And you booked that show, or you promoted it?
I booked it. I co-promoted it. I wasn't going to that because I had a show here in Milwaukee, but I had the Chili Peppers the next night in Madison, so I was going to go there. But I sent two of my best friends up, and all of a sudden I get a call. You know, they're naked and running through a cornfield. I said, what? The police are chasing them. And, yeah, I mean, I think for Green Bay, that's probably one of the most historic shows is the Red Hot Chili Peppers and November of 89.
That's so funny. I had no idea that was Green Bay. I mean, I remember reading about that, or hearing about it, but that's great. So what are your favorite parts of the book, Peter?
I guess how people like John Prine and Arlo Guthrie, you know, became friends with me. They saw something in me and, we just got along like, you know, average people, and I've gone to, you know, baseball and hockey games with John Prine, and
just
how such creative people and I had something become more than friends after a show. That meant a lot to me.
All right, I'm going to totally geek out now because I saw the John Prine thing in the book description. Tell me about John Prine. He died. He was one of the first COVID deaths, actually. And
yes,
I
happened to be emailing with his wife that day. I just checking how things are going because I'm just taking John to the to the hospital now, and it was so sad. The last two dates I did with him were Madison and the Fox Cities PAC I did up there. It must have been May of 2019. And, you know, sometimes you're afraid to meet your heroes because you don't want them to be a jerk, but John Prine was exactly what you see, just a sweet, nice guy and very quiet, you know, because he observed so much.
Yeah.
And that's where those songs came from. You know, he observed average daily people, and he came up with those great songs. But he was just the greatest guy. And, my mom would make him a cake for every show, and we just had a good time. He was really a special person.
You know, I love hearing that because I used to do stand-up comedy. I started in Chicago, and I was based out of there for years, right around the corner from the Old Town Ale House, where I understand he used to go all the time. And part of the fun for me to go there was to see my friends, but also hear stories about John Prine. And I just have never heard a bad word about the guy. So everything you're saying to me about one of my own musical heroes and favorite songwriters is just, this is worth it alone, you being on the show tonight. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. He really, it's not, yes, he's passed and people say nice things about people, but I've never met a person that either does not like John Prine,
yeah,
or met him. I mean, I've never saw him angry. He was just your average guy that liked a beer and a hot dog,
yeah,
at a baseball game. He really was the salt of the earth. I mean, he always on his birthday, he always went fishing with his buddies, and he would never play a concert his birthday weekend, no matter what, how much money it was. And he just had principles. You know,
I love that.
No, I'm going to go fishing on my birthday. I mean, he's such an average guy.
Wow.
But really the smartest guy in the room, just a genius that walked among us.
And you could tell that just if you, and I always thought, I know he's a good guy because of what he sings about and the way he writes. I could just tell that. You know what I mean? Like, it comes across in his lyrics and the simplicity of his music, but there's a genius in that. He was just an absolute treasure.
And he's got that great smile, and he loved performing. You know, some guys go out because they have to or they want to make as much money as they can. John just loved performing. He only did weekends. He goes, I want to fly back home so I can take my kids and pick them up from school every day.
That's so great.
Just a dedicated father.
You've probably heard this. I saw this on a documentary somewhere that Steve Goodman and he were very good friends.
Yes.
And there's a story about Steve Goodman performing, maybe it was at the Old Town Ale House, I don't know, somewhere in Chicago. And Kris Kristofferson came by to see him because he had heard a lot about Steve Goodman. And Steve Goodman, you know, instead of just embracing the moment for himself, said, you really need to meet John Prine and hear his stuff. So John Prine came by and Kris Kristofferson helped them both out. I'm like, what a pal. You've got this great guy who has this life-changing moment, and he includes his best friend in it, and they both benefited from it, which makes me also think Kris Kristofferson's a great guy.
Yeah, they were. I think they went to New York together, him and Steve,
yeah.
And then excuse me, met Kris Kristofferson, and Kris took him under his belt and hooked him up with someone from the record company, I believe it was.
So great.
But Steve Goodman was before my time. I mean, I think he passed in the early 80s.
Yeah.
But John sure loved him, and I did a couple John shows in the Genesee Theater in Waukegan, and Steve Goodman's mother came. She always came to John shows when we did them in Northern Illinois, which is really sweet.
That says a lot about a guy, too, when your friend's mom shows up. But I mean, I just think that's great.
Everyone just really loved John. I mean, it was just, and I feel bad for people that never heard his music. They got something to pick up on later and, coming up, I guess.
Exactly, so. Right. My guest is Peter Jest. He is one of the authors of We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. You can find it on Amazon, lots of different places, actual bookstores. Check it out. Can you tell me a little bit about, in the teaser for your book, Peter, you talk about you had to manage a turbulent band. Can you elaborate on that? Can you tell us who it was?
Well, that's a little deceiving. It's more tour manager. I tour managed Violent Femmes for like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And I was like 20 years old at the time. So, for a 20-year-old trying to manage a rock band on the road, I've become friends with all the guys. I mean, Brian Ritchie and me just texted tonight. We're really good friends. And it was just like trying to manage three personalities when I'm like 20 years old was more the turbulent thing. And then some of the side guys were like twice my age. Go, what's this 20-year-old guy being the tour manager? We got to listen to him, So it was more the side guys that gave me a little bit of grief. But
you know what? It's interesting you say, I didn't finish college. I didn't have a good GPA. The intelligence and having to manage personalities, not everybody could do that, right? I mean, that is an art in and of itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things than being, one of the things why I want to do the book is I want, maybe parents or someone to look at, my kid, I have two brothers and a sister. They're doctor, nurse, and pharmacist, and they're on this rock promoter. Sometimes you get an oddball that just wants to do something different and, support them in it. Not everyone can be an academic.
Yeah. Well, I bet you have the best stories at the Thanksgiving tables, so I'm sure they're thrilled you ended up doing what you did.
Yeah.
Can you tell us where Shank Hall gets its name from? I love this.
Well, back in 1984, the movie Spinal Tap came out, and my friend Dave Lurson, who does the foreword of the book, we sat in the movie theater, and it's a mockumentary, and we laughed so hard, and then in the movie, they played like fake venues. It's a fake documentary. One of them, when they played Milwaukee, it was Shank Hall. I said, if I ever open a live music club, I got to call it Shank Hall because it'll be really funny and all the musicians will get it. And 5 years later, that's what I did. And we have a mini Stone Edge above the drummer. And and the guys in the band got a big kick out of it. It's Michael McKean, Harry Shearer, Christopher Guest, and Rob Reiner. And I think they got a big kick that I took a 5-second bit out of the movie and made a music venue. In fact, Michael McKean, if you look at the book, reviewed it and loved it.
Yeah, I saw that he that's so great. Was that hard tracking him down? Probably not if you already knew him, but that's really cool.
Because they played the club on a press conference and they played WM. And I had his manager's contact information. And, I've only talked to him like twice in my life. And he's been so, he's such a busy man, and he took time out to read the book and do a review, which I'm so honored.
How great. I love the scene in Spinal Tap where they're all upset about Small Stonehenge and they're trying to figure out what to do. And Harry Shearer says, we need to change the choreography.
Right. And he says, does that mean we're not going to do Stonehenge tomorrow? Right. Yeah.
I guess we
have an 18-inch Stonehenge and hang in the back of the venue.
Oh, I love that. We got to do a quick thing, Peter. Sit tight. I just have a few more questions for you. It's great to have you here. My guest is Peter Jest. He is the author of We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. We'll have more with Peter coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe, I believe.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Mino and the Mayor.
I got a text from some friends of mine. They're working for Habitat for Humanity today.
Oh, great.
I might run over there, just put on the tool belt and just kind of midriff shirt, whatever, and just kind of do some work.
Get a little sheen going.
Get a little sheen going for the ladies.
Yeah. The Mino Sheen.
Hey, that would be a good, like, fragrance, like a cologne.
Mino Sheen. What is she looking for?
Hey, you smell really good, yeah. Big boy.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
Go
it
ahead.
Clean.
Thanks. That's really
You
nice.
Are one master whacker. I'll tell you
Thanks.
That. That's,
wow, that's unbelievable.
Impressive.
You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Peter Jest is my guest at the moment. His book, We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter, is available now, and it looks like a phenomenal read. Peter has a very interesting story, and I'm sure the book is phenomenal. I can't wait to read it, Peter. It says also in the description of the book, it says you were stubborn and independent. When would you have had to be stubborn as a music promoter?
Well, when I started out, I was like 100 pounds, skinny kid with braces that, you know, good thing there weren't video calls then, because no one would ever do business with me. So it was more like people always kept telling me, no, you can't bring national acts to campus. No, you're too young to open a music club. No, you can't do that. And I just refused to take no for an answer.
Wow, good for you. That's to do that at that age is pretty remarkable.
I sort of figured that, you know, I'm 18 years old. I'm living in my parents' basement. If I made $2,000 a year, that'll be fine. You know, that's enough for beer and pizza.
Yeah.
You know, so the time to be risky was, you know, 18, 19, living at home yet, at my parents' home.
Absolutely. Do you have, there's the mechanics of putting a show together and lining up acts and venues and all that kind of stuff. You said you were a music lover earlier. Does being a music lover and passionate about music make you a better promoter somehow? Does that play into it?
I think it makes you appreciate more. Although one of the golden rules as a promoter is you never really want to book people you like, because it might be just you and your three friends at the show.
Oh, wow.
But I sort of throw that one out because I've liked the people I work with and sort of know how many tickets they're going to sell in that. But you just don't book the people you like, or, you know, you're going to find you and your three friends there. So,
what are some of your favorite bands that have come out of Milwaukee historically?
Well, the Violent Femmes, and I must mention that the name came from Brian Ritchie, the bass player of the Violent Femmes. When Amy asked him what it was like to have Peter Jest, a 20-year-old, be the road manager in 1985, he said, well, we had fun and no one died. So that's what the title, we said, well, that's great. That's
great.
The title of the book right there.
I
so
love
that's where that.
That
came from. But, you know, them and the Bodines have really, you know, from my era, really conquered the world. So
yeah. You know, I told this story recently on the show. I was in college at DePaul University in Chicago, and a friend of mine came to my room and said, we have an extra U2 ticket tonight. It was like 1988, the Rosemont Horizon, and the Bodines were the opening act. I got dragged to the best concert of my life because I loved U2, and I discovered the Bodines that night. I ended up making a movie years later, and Kurt Newman scored it and gave me some Bodine songs. So it was like this cathartic, it was this beautiful serendipitous moment. And I'm, to this day, I'm a huge Bodines fan, and I love the sound, and I feel like it's very Wisconsin.
Oh yeah. I mean, in fact, I was at one of those shows too. I think they did three nights at the Rosemont during that run or something. Right. I think it was like, and yeah, they were very fortunate, the Bodines, to have the same booking agency as U2.
Oh, okay.
And they did a lot, you know, that really helped them, you know, around the country.
Yeah, they had just won like the album of the year or debut album of the year or something in Rolling Stone. And I was like, I couldn't believe the show that I saw that night for $20.
Right. That'd be the service charge today. Yeah
exactly. Other than Shank Hall, what are some of your favorite concert venues in Milwaukee?
Well, around this, I do a lot in the state. I mean, one of my favorite is up there is the Meyer Theater.
Meyer Theater.
That's a great, you know, that's, yeah, I've done the Femmes there and Gordon Lightfoot and Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues. It's very well run. It's fun. I got a show coming up with the Widener. Wausau, the Grand Theater in Wausau is very good.
Wow.
The Barrymore Theater in Madison.
Love it.
The Opera House in Oshkosh. And then I do a few shows in Milwaukee, sometimes at the PAPS, sometimes the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. So, you know, I try to fit the right band in the right place.
I'm a huge Gordon Lightfoot fan, too. That's pretty cool that you've had a chance to meet him.
Yeah, I did always the Myers Theater, and I did a lot of dates with him. And, yeah, it was really, he was good, you know, he was good friends with John Prine, so we got along really well, and I always talked hockey with Gordon Lightfoot, you know, so that was always fun.
There's a great video I found on YouTube one night shortly after John Prine died. He was performing, I think, in Montreal or somewhere in Canada. And Gordon Lightfoot, it was like this guy's living room, and they're all just sitting there listening. It was probably 20 people. And they cut to Gordon Lightfoot, and he just has tears streaming down his face while he's listening to John Prine sing. It was just a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, no, I know. I've seen that. It's like the Gordon... I forgot what it is, but yeah, it was something that Gordon Lightfoot put together, and there's Gordon watching, you know, like you said, grinning ear to ear with John playing. Yeah, that's very special. In fact, when John Prine got the Songwriters Hall of Fame, I was doing Gordon Lightfoot at the Meyer Theater, and I said, Gordon, can you do a short video, and I'll send it to Fiona, John's wife, and we went down to the dress room, and he said this nice thing about Donald and Lydia being his favorite song, and it was like a 45-second thing he did in the first take, how much he appreciated John Prine, and I sent it to them, and they used that. So
this is so cool. I don't even know if any of this is in the book, but the stories you must have, it sounds like you could create like a whole Encyclopedia Britannica series. Just such fun stories, and I'm just so grateful to have you here tonight. This is fun. I hope the book does great. I'm glad no one died, by the way. That's great.
So it's officially out, and I made it. That was always the joke that, you know,
hey,
I wouldn't make it to the book release, then my wife would take all the profits.
Oh, that would be ironic. Yeah, we don't want that.
Already.
Hey, we have about a minute left. Are you watching anything you could recommend, Peter? Do you binge watch TV or movies or anything?
Well, we're a little slow here at the Just household. We're watching Ted Lasso now.
Okay.
So we're a little behind. So that's the new one, and... we just watched, you know, some of the Walking Dead stuff, things like that.
Yeah.
So, and the Disney Star Wars stuff rewatched. So.
Yeah, and you're not really behind either because there's so much content out there. You can't possibly get to it all. You know what I mean? Like in a timely fashion. So
right,
I play catch up a lot
too.
Shows
3 times a week. It's hard to watch that much TV. So.
Exactly. Well, I hope our paths cross at some point, Peter. This was a lot of fun. Thanks so much, and best of luck with the book, and keep bringing the music to the people. That's great.
Great. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Have a great night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's Peter Jest. The book is We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. So check that out. Thank you to Peter. Conrad, what are you doing? You're sticking your finger up in the air. Are you checking the wind? John Mino just walked in. How crazy is this? Here I did. I tease your appearance, and you're already here. Was the event not fun?
No, it's great. Oh, okay. So many people.
Oh, really?
Holy cow.
Okay.
Farmers Market in downtown Green Bay. Beautiful night.
Oh,
they've had
gorgeous.
So many problems with rain and everything. Beautiful night out there tonight.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It was just crazy busy.
That's fantastic. All right. The Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.